true. Hallelujah.
So true, so true.
We're glad you're here. Don't forget service tonight. 6:30, come praying, believing, and expecting the Lord to help us. Don't forget, Friday night we're going to take the church van. Going to go to Brother Berg's. Going to leave here about, need to leave here about 5:30, quarter to 6. And I want you to go. I'd like to pack that van out as many as we can and go up there and try to be an encouragement to Brother Berg. Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. Start reading at verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye also, who were sometimes afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enemy, even the law of commandments, continued in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh, that through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word and your will and your way. I pray that you would touch and bless and quicken and strengthen our hearts in here tonight or today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. I want to talk a little bit today about the cross and how it relates to humanity. There's much to be said, but I just want to deal with this one little aspect today about the cross. You know, when I think about Christ, we marvel at his life. He was sinless. He was spotless. He was holy. He was undefiled. He went about healing the sick and all those oppressed of the devil. He stilled the storms, spoke the word that rebuked the wind, spoke the words, and gave life to mankind. There was something about the wonderful life of Christ, just to study his life, just to go down through the pages of his life and see the countless lives that he touched to. I believe it was John that said that the world could not contain the volumes. The one writer wrote years ago that talked about, if love of God, how rich and pure, that if the oceans were of ink made, and if every stalk was a quill, and every man a scribe by trade to describe the love of God above, would drain the oceans dry. And to tell about the marvels of Christ, to tell of all that he did while he walked among men, would drain the oceans dry and waste the fields of the quills, because no man will ever know all the marvels and the mysteries and the power and the grace and the healing that Jesus did. His life alone is a matchless, marvelous mystery. Hallelujah. I got to see the tapestry of his life and the things he did in just 3.5 years when he began his ministry. Would be enough to marvel anybody. Amen. I marvel at his life. I marvel at his words. Amen. They said never a man spake like this man. They love to quote Plato and Socrates and Aristotle and other. You know, they love to quote some of the scholars of the past and the sages of the past. But could I tell you, never speak a man like Jesus. The words that he spoke, they were life. The words that he spoke lifted humanity, my God, from the dregs of sin to the highest heaven. Oh, my God, the words that he spoke, amen, they healed the sick. They raised the dead. They confounded the critics. Oh my God. They brought hope to the hopeless. They brought life to the lifeless. They brought joy to those whose joy had been extinguished. They brought hope to those whose lives were in misery and darkness. Oh, the words of the Son of God. As someone, I believe Brother Cox said years ago, he said, what we wouldn't give just to hear one message at the hands of the Master. What we wouldn't give just to set his feet and been there in the crowds when he spoke the words of life and the crowds that were restless and torn and tormented and distressed. My God, when he stepped out and got the word of God and started his ministry and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me, hallelujah, to preach the deliverance to the captives, setting free of those that are bound, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. My God, just to have heard him say that. And when he walked, the crowds followed him. Wherever he went, they followed him. When he said, sit down, and he began to teach them, they said with rapture as they listened to the words of the greatest speaker of the greatest words that mankind have ever heard, the words of the Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah, hallelujah. They were the words of the Master. They were the words of the Savior. They were the words of God himself. Amen. He said, and that you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm going to tell you that you heard him, you heard the Father. The words that he spoke were the words of his Father. The words that he spoke were the love of God for mankind. The life that he gave was the life of God himself, because he was God incarnate, God with us. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Great is the mystery of godliness. He was as much God as he was man. And he was as much man as he was God. The mystery defies the logic, but it belongs, the secret things belong to God. And maybe someday around the throne of God, we'll understand the great mystery of the Godhead and the glory and the coming of the Son of Man. But until then, we've got this book, and it gives us the words of the Master. And these are just still things they remembered. My God, who was it? That one writer said, if all that he said and did were written, that the world would not contain the volumes. Hallelujah. And I love to hear his words. And I love to hear him preach. I've heard some great preaching. But my God, put it over the corner. If the Master come, any preacher in his right mind would step aside and say, take the pulpit and speak to the hearts of mankind. Is that all right? Hallelujah. Oh, I marvel at his wisdom. They constantly tried to trap him. They constantly tried to ensnare him. But he always had a word for the critics. He always had the word that he needed. They could not bind him. They could not confound him. They could not trick him. His were the words of life. His were the words of wisdom. His were the words that were steeped in eternity. And he knew the words and he knew the wisdom that mankind needed. Oh, brother, I marvel at his wisdom. Hallelujah. I said, I marvel at his wisdom. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, the greatest feat of all his life, his words, and his wisdom, they're all marvelous. But I'm going to tell you what I want to preach about today, and that is the greatest marvel and the greatest mystery and the greatest power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Was the cross. My God, the theme of mankind and his help is at the cross. The theme of every ministry ought to be the cross. The theme of every church ought to be the cross. Because, brother, the greatest thing that the Son of God ever did for mankind was when he went to the cross and the holy died for the unholy. My God, the sinless died for the sinful. My God, the God of heaven, woo, my God, took upon himself the form of flesh and thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Oh, come on here now. Because he was the God of heaven. And to think that that great and mighty God would go to the cross to identify with the suffering and the tragedy and the sin and the brokenness of mankind. There's nothing like the cross of Calvary. Lift your hands this morning and please ask God to help me. Here, I want to tell you, right here, folks, I'm preaching right up here. Hallelujah. I want to tell you the history of all mankind, the history of all the world, the hope of all the world is bound up in the cross. You hear me? If you take the cross out of the pages of history, if you take the cross off the face of the earth, if you take the cross out of this Bible, I want to tell you, there is no hope, there is no life, there is no joy, there is no heaven, there is no, my God, woo! No, dear Jesus, if there is no cross, I said if there is no cross, then we're going to spend eternal ages crying for mercy. Oh my God, but aren't you glad there's a cross? I said, aren't you glad there's a cross? Aren't you glad there's a Christ? Aren't you glad there's a Savior? Aren't you glad there's a Redeemer? I'm thankful for the cross of Jesus Christ. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to preach about three aspects of the cross this morning. I want to preach it was a sign. It was an assertion. And it was a demand. Hallelujah. Amen. The first thing, the cross is a sign. It is a sign that the God of heaven, listen to me, identifies with the frailty, the failures, and the sins of mankind. Woo! Hallelujah. You see, the God of heaven upholds all things by the power of His might. The stars are in their courses because of the power of Almighty God. The sun shines in its brightness because of the God of heaven. The moon is a reflection of that light from the sun. Why? Because the God of heaven, He put them all in place. He keeps them all in course. Oh my God, He scooped out the oceans and holds them in the hollow of His hand. My God, He numbered the stars and He called them all by name. He walks on the wings of the wind. He is the dawn of every morning. He is the sunset of every night. He's the breath that I breathe. He's the life that I live. He's the hope that I have. He's the joy of my salvation. He's the grace that I need to live. My God, thank God for the cross. Hallelujah. God, who has angels, they've been worshiping Him 24 hours a day. He's got elders casting their crowns at His feet. Do you hear me? All of heaven comes and goes at the beckon and the bid of the God of heaven. I want to tell you today, God did not need mankind. I said, God did not need mankind, and God does not need you, and He does not need me today in the strictest of senses. He can be God if every one of us die and go to hell. He'll be God. Amen. Woo! I said He'll be God when the lightning flashes. He'll be God when the earth is on fire. He'll be God when everything is over and the smoke is settled. God will still be God, the God of heaven, the God of glory, the God of might, the God of majesty, the God of power, the God of provisions. He will still be God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Men curse Him. Men blaspheme His name. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't change the majesty of God. You might as well try to stand on your tiptoes and blow the sun out as to think you're going to change the majesty of Almighty God. I know this earth is a bastion of sin. I know this earth is a bastion of rebellion. I know this earth has fallen into the lap of the wicked one. But hear me, God is still in heaven. I said God is still in heaven and all is well. The Lord reigneth omnipotent. Let the earth rejoice, hallelujah, because God is still alive. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, hey, hey. Hallelujah. Let me preach to you. Oh, listen. Oh, my God. You would think. Now, listen. You would think a God so great and a God so mighty and a God so powerful and a God so majestic would not care about mankind. You would think they would make no difference to Him. Amen, Brother Silas Wayne, if you've got a headache, but you know what? If you have a headache, the God of heaven is touched. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, it don't make any sense to me. Amen. Amen, Samantha, when you were hit by that car, the God of heaven, what? Yeah, He was concerned about the fact. I want to tell you, oh, listen to me. The tears that roll down your face, the Master collects them and holds them in the bottle. He's touched by the feelings of your infirmities. Woo! Hallelujah! He's moved by your tragedies. Oh, my God, He's touched by your teardrops. He's moved, my God, by the things that work against you. Oh, God, He's concerned about your life. He's concerned about your sons. He's concerned about your daughters. He's concerned about your car. He's concerned that you have food to eat, that you've got clothes to wear, that you've got a roof over your shoulders, that you've got breath in your body. He's concerned about every minute detail of your life because He's God. Hallelujah. Now hear me. We would have never known that if He had not sent a sign to you. For He said, for this shall be a what? A sign. Woo! Hallelujah. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. I want to tell you the sign that God is concerned about mankind did not come wrapped in a ball of fire. It did not come wrapped in kingly garments. It came wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger. And God said, this is my sign that I love you. This is my sign that I'm concerned about you. This is my sign that I'll see your tears. This is my sign that I'll heal your sick. This is my sign that I'll save your soul. Behold, a sign, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying. Oh, yes. He is touched by the sufferings of mankind. He is moved by our frailties and failures. How do I know that? How do I know that? Here's how I know it. Because He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Oh, God. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Oh, come on here. There's some of you sitting right here in this building today, and the devil's told you in more than once, and some of you this very week, you have said, God don't know. You have said, God don't care. You have said, God don't see. Oh, but I want to tell you, I've got a sign for you. I said, I've got a sign for you. Woo! The sign is the Savior. The sign is the cross. The sign is the Son of God. Amen. Who God Himself gave for you. Gave for your sins. Gave for your troubles. Gave for your heartaches. And if He gave His own Son up to be delivered for us, then will He not freely give us all things? Woo! All things! I said all things! And oh my God! He knows how to heal the broken heart. He knows how to heal the broken bodies. He knows how to touch, my God, hallelujah, the troubled mind. He knows how to encourage the discouraged. He knows how to touch the brokenhearted. He knows how to calm the raging storm. He knows how to break, set free those bound with drugs and alcohol and curse of sin. He will freely give us all deliverance and all power and all grace and all salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just as sure just as sure as the tides of the sea lift the burdens of ships and carries passengers and cargo and oil and necessities of life. Amen. You hear me? Those tides carry the ships across the ocean. Amen. To bring food, oil, whatever. I want to tell you, the love of God is like the tide lifting man out of the abyss of sin. And he said, if you'll stay on board, I'll bring you to the haven of rest. Woo! Hallelujah. I'll lift you up out of despair. I'll lift you up out of distress. If you'll stay on board, I've got a place of rest. I've got a harbor called haven. Heaven. I've got a harbor of rest. I've got a harbor of life. If you'll just stay in the ship. Like the gravity that holds man to this earth. Oh, the cross and the Christ is the pull that pulls mankind to the Master. Hallelujah. 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 Why do I love God? Because of that cross and because of Christ. I feel a pull on the inside of my soul. I don't care who you are. I don't care how black your sins may have been. I don't care how far you may wander from God. Amen. The pull of God, the pull of the cross, the pull of the love of the Master will pull at you. The love of the Master will pull at your tattered soul. The love of the Master will pull at your broken heart. Run where you will, fly where you will, but the pull of God's love will pull on your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo! He sent me a sign. I said, He sent me a sign. The God of heaven sent a sign. It was His Son. It was the cross. Oh, hallelujah. You see, hallelujah. It's like this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When He sent His Son to the cross to die for my sins, what He said to me and all of mankind is this: though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be like snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be white as wool. Oh, when God sent His only begotten Son, He sent a sign to mankind that said, I was willing to give heaven's best for earth's least. Hallelujah. Oh, I was willing to give the pearl of great price for the trash of this world. Oh, God, I'm reminded of a little story I read. I forget where it was, but they said the biggest chunk of gold ever found was found at an old man's house. He was using it to prop open his front door. And a man came by and he saw that old, looked like an old rock. The man was propping his gate open with. And he saw it in this man knew about rocks. And he picked it up and he said, sir, do you know you got a chunk of gold here? Well, no, I just use it to pop the door open. Oh, my God. Isn't that just the way it is with mankind? We have the gold of the love of Christ. We have the gold of Golgotha. Ah, come on now. We have the gold of heaven. Amen. Are y'all still here? I said we have the gold of heaven, but we spend most of our life digging through the trash. Oh, come on here. I say we spend most of our life digging through the trash, reaching for the treasures that will rust and rot and decay. While we lay by the gate the mercy of God. We lay by the gate the love of the Master. We lay by the gate the Word of God. We lay by the gate the power of the Holy Ghost. We dribble, we play in the trash and let the treasures die around the home. Oh, hallelujah. Woo. Oh, y'all have got quiet over here. I said you've got quiet over here. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. I want you to hear me this morning. Jesus Christ, if He don't mean any more to you than getting your ticket punched on Sunday morning, He don't mean anything to you.
if he means nothing more to you than money when you're hungry or an escape when you're in trouble, he don't mean much to you. Hallelujah. I said he don't mean much to you. Hallelujah. But to those whose eyes have been opened by the power of God, woo! To them that believe, I said to them that believe, he is the power of God unto salvation. Woo! To those who don't believe, he's a stone of stumbling. But to those who trust him, he's a rock. He's a shelter. He's someone you can stand upon. To the world, I said to the world, he is an offense. But to the children of God, he's a fence of protection. Hallelujah. To the woo! To the world, he's a bother. But to a child of God, he's the breath of life. To the world, he crimps their lifestyle. But to a child of God, he's the breath of breathe. He's the life I live. He's the song I sing. Hallelujah! I want to tell you something. We need to get a hold of the cross and get a hold of the Christ and love him like the treasure that he is. He was a sign from God. Oh yeah. That's why Paul said in Hebrews 10, if the word spoke by angels was steadfast and sure, and every disobedience and transgression received a just recompense reward. And he said those under Moses' law, he said they died under the hand of two or three witnesses. That's what he said. But he said, if we who know him, amen, have trodden underfoot the blood of the Son of God, counted the covenant wherewith he redeemed us an unholy thing, and if we have trodden underfoot, if we've done despite to the Spirit of grace, he said, of how much sore punishment shall you be thought who did this? Huh? Oh, come on here now. My God, do you hear me? Under Moses' law, just two or three witnesses, amen, would mean your life. Then let me tell you something. What are we going to do in the day of judgment? I said, what are we going to do in the day of judgment? My God, when you stand before the God of heaven, when you stand before the Christ of Calvary and you have not served him and you have not lived for him, oh come on now, my God, what will you answer then when he said, I sent you a sign, I sent you a savior, I sent my son, I sent my deliverer, and you cast it aside? Hallelujah, hallelujah. He leave us a sign. But he left a wonderful assertion. Here's what it is. The assertion that he left was this, that humanity was worth dying for. I said he left this assertion that humanity was worth dying for. Hallelujah. Praise God. I read in World War I, before Germany actually overtook Greece and conquered it, the armies of Greece went against Italy. Of course, Italy and Mussolini and Hitler joined forces. They were called the Axis of Evil. And before Italy really got strong, the Grecian army went and they fought, and they had several major victories against the armies of Italy. And they said that when the troops from Greece had won and they conquered the battlefields, they said they found this little mother from Greece, as she walked among the battlefield, among those little boys from Italy, from those young boys from Italy. Yeah, and here she is, she's from Greece, and Italy's trying to conquer and suppress them. But here's this little mother from Greece, and she's walking the battlefield, and these young boys from Italy are laying there dying with not a soul to care for them. And she's binding up wounds, and she just kept saying, they're too young to die. They're too young to die. They're too young to die. Oh, God, little vulture, I didn't deserve mercy. I said, I didn't deserve mercy. You didn't deserve mercy. Oh, God. But when we were without hope in this world, even the God of heaven and his son Jesus Christ went to the cross, and he said, they're too young to die. And he walked among the battlefields of broken lives. He walked.
walk among the battlefields of mankind and found the broken and the torn and the crushed and the wounded. Hallelujah. And he said, I'll bind up the wounded. I'll heal the sick. Oh, hallelujah. I'll save the lost. We didn't deserve it. I said, we didn't deserve it. But he walked among us and gave us life. Why? To assert to mankind that God said humanity was worth saving.
A good, you might die for a good man, you know. You might die scarcely for a friend. You might die, huh? But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Woo! Huh? Oh, come on now. God, come on here. Let's tell it like it is. Some of you right here today, or you're not living right. You've done despite to the Spirit of grace. Amen. So to speak, you've spit in the face of the Master and said, I don't care about the cross. I don't care about the blood. I don't care, God, that you sent your Son. It don't make any difference to me. I'm going to live the way I want to live. I'm going to do what I want to do. Hey, neighbor, neighbor, neighbor. Amen. And that God of heaven is still reaching out. That God of heaven is still loving a world that's lost. And I'm done. I guess it'll be all right to tell this. I hope so. You just come to me, Judy. I thought about Roger Wiley. He's dying, laying in a hospital, eating up with cancer. God sends a preacher to him, and I walk in the door. When I tell him I preach, he turns his face and says, get out of here and cuss at me. I told him I didn't want a preacher. Huh? But you know what the God of heaven said? The God of heaven said, go talk to him again. So I went back again. He got out of the hospital. And God said, go visit him at his trailer. Whew. Hallelujah. Oh, you know what? You know what? You know what I would have done, Curtis? You know what most of us would have done? Said, well, you know what, God? Fine. Go to hell. And I don't mean that in a slang way. I mean literally. Yeah, that's what you want. But God didn't see it that way. I said, God didn't see it that way. God said, go again. Go again. Go again. Oh my God, although mankind has spit on him and scoffed his name and mocked his holy name, oh my God, he keeps coming back over and over and over and over. What is that all about, preacher? I'll tell you what it is. It's the very heart of God who said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all men everywhere should come to repentance. Your lost husband, your lost son, your lost daughter, amen, others may have given up on and said, tough luck. Amen. Good enough, let them go to hell. But the God of heaven says, no. Give me one more chance. Let me talk to him one more time. Let me reach him one more time. He's got an assertion that he loves lost humanity. The cross leaves a sign. The cross leaves an assertion. And I will tell you, the cross makes a demand. Hallelujah. Woo! One writer said, the worst turns the best to brave. Woo! Hello? The worst turns the best to brave. I see the Master, he hangs between heaven and earth. And he said, oh, Father! Oh, Father! We're in the garden, actually. In the, oh, Father! If it's possible, let the cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will but thine. He hangs over the cross and says, Father, oh God, God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, hallelujah. Those songwriters said he could have called 10,000 angels. Huh? Oh, yeah. He could have called 10,000 angels. Oh, Brother Folger, they said, if you'd be the Christ, come down off that cross. What do you mean if it'd be the Christ? My God, Brother Folger, he could have made that spot a grease spot. Hey, he could have spoke one word. Are you listening to me? I said he could have spoke one word, and the earth would have been filled with angels, and mankind would have been obliterated. He would have lifted him off the cross and took him to heaven. He didn't have to die for you. He didn't have to die for me. But he died because he loved us. He died
because he cared. He died because we're lost. He died to show us the mercy and the love and the grace of God Almighty.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John Bunyan in the Bedford jail. Many men would have cracked under the pressure, but it was in the Bedford jail that the worst turned the best into brave. Ha ha. Hallelujah. And there in the Bedford jail, he wrote that beautiful allegory of Pilgrim's Progress that has touched lives all across the world. The worst turned the best into brave. Hallelujah. My God, when Paul and Silas were in that Philippian jail, my God, they were beaten. They were battered. Woo, but it turned the worst, turned them to the brave. And at midnight, they began to sing praises. And the jail began to rock. And the fetters fell off. I want to tell you, my God, give us some men and women that view the power and the demands of the cross and turn the worst and turn the weak into the brave for the cross of Jesus Christ. Woo! Listen to me. In the cross of Christ, we have a symbol to remind us there is power to overcome evil. There is power to rise above tragedy. And there is power to rise from the ashes of defeat into the victory of the Son of God. Woo! Hallelujah. I want to tell you something, neighbor. The cross demands more out of you than a nod. You hear me? The cross demands more out of you than coming to church and sitting around eating candy all service and talking all service. It's going to demand more than that. Even the Bible says you have to take up the cross. You're going to have to take up the cross and follow me. You have to take up the cross and walk like a soldier. You have to take up the cross and act like a man. Act like a lady. My God, we're going to rise above this curse of falling. We're going to rise above the curse of living loosely. We're going to rise above this curse of no demands of sacrifice. You've got to take up the cross of Jesus Christ and follow him. Live like you preach. Everyone wants a job will make fun of me. The cross ain't worth it. Preacher, if I dress like you preach, my family will think I've gone fanatical. The cross not worth it. Preacher, if I live like you preach, what you're telling me is I've got to witness and I've got to win and I've got to live. That's exactly what I'm telling you. The cross makes demands on you. But I'm going to tell you, he don't ask any more of you than his son gave. His son gave all. I said his son gave all for a world that spit on him and scoffed him and mocked him and scarred him. The least I can do, Mother Silas Wayne Chapman, is take up the cross and tell the world, I'm a child of the King. I believe in the cross. I believe in the Savior. Make fun of me if you will. Bow to your idols of Buddha if you want to. Pray to Mohammed if it helps you any. But I'm going to bow at the cross. Woo! I'm going to kneel at the cross of the Christ. I'm going to kneel at the cross, the place of suffering, reproach, and shame. I will bow there and give him. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your goodness and mercy. Would you please touch our lives today by your power and by your grace divine.